The Man in the Iron Mask.
Georges Samar is stricken with fear when he hears that the king wants to see his ward. The king and his advisor Letellier notice Samar's ill-concealed fright and ask him of what he is afraid. Samar, without revealing the true facts, blames Cardinal Mazarin.
Please, Your Majesty, when the truth comes out, do not blame me. What I did for France.
Yes, but what did you do? Is there some secret about this man?
Secret? Secret?
Quickly, Samar, out with it. The king grows very impatient.
My lips are sealed, Your Majesty.
Do you want the rack?
Let me explain, sire. The cardinal swore me to secrecy. The cardinal made me take an oath. If you want the secret, go to the cardinal and he will tell you.
Monsieur Edmund.
Look. Here he comes now. My ward.
Mon Dieu. That man. It is you, Your Majesty. You walking towards us.
This is your king, Edmund.
King?
Your Majesty, this is an honor.
You may rise. Let me look at you.
Mon Dieu. It sends a cold shiver down my spine. Almost as though I were gazing into my own looking glass.
You're the king of France. And yet I look at myself.
Your Majesty, I am confounded.
This secret. We must find out about this secret, Letellier. Will you tell me this, Madsenmauer? Are we related, this man and I?
Related?
Yes, yes, quickly tell me.
My lips are sealed. I would be in danger of hellfire if I told Your Majesty. But the Cardinal, he will tell you all. Why, look, here come my lackeys with food and wine for Your Majesty. I beg 1,000 pardons for any delay that might have been caused.
Food and wine, what do we want with food and wine when we have an urgent matter like this before us?
Prepare for a journey, Machiavelli. You come to France with me at once.
Meanwhile, another was preparing for a journey. This was the Infanta of Spain. It was a sad day in the household of King Philip, for here was a marriage enforced by the cunning diplomacy and the iron will of Cardinal Mazarin. Picture Maria Theresa in her traveling hood and cape, the waiting carriages outside with strong horses ready for a long, long journey, the few waiting women whom she would take with her, and in her eyes a fear. A fear which at this last moment was undisguised.
Father, they're waiting for me now. Don't come down to the carriage. Please, don't come down yet.
But why not, Maria?
The crowd. So many people wishing me well, seeing me out of the city. I will break down and cry. I know I will if you are there. You are all I have. The only person in this world I love. And I am leaving it. With Spain in its weakened state, while I go to France and to a lecherous king.
No, do not say that.
I know this for the truth. The son of the English ambassador, he told me in confidence, Father. I have lain awake night after night, wondering whether I shouldn't take my own life. I hate drunkenness, I hate loose living. And more than anything else, I hate the French for what they have done.
Shh, Maria, you must not talk like that. Oh, my dear, you become a French woman. Don't you understand it? What is more, you renounce all your Spanish rights.
That, too.
Oh, we are powerless to do anything but agree. Otherwise, the French army would crush us. Oh, my dear little girl, be brave. I'm sure when you reach France, when you see Paris, when you become acquainted with the king, all will be well. God will help you to reform him, if these tales are true.
Yes, Father. That is where my faith lies. If my courage fails, there is my faith which will keep me on the path. Oh, if only I could take you, our whole household with me. Perhaps things might be easier. But as it is...
Listen. the bells of the city. And this is your moment of departure. You won't let me come down?
Oh, no. I just sit in my carriage to see you on the steps, fading away. No, I couldn't bear it, Father. Stay on the terrace if you will. And then when the carriage turns at the drive, I'll wait. Goodbye, dear Father. And thank you for your love and care all these years. I will never forget you as long as I live.
We shall meet again.
That will be my constant prayer. Goodbye.
Meanwhile, other carriages were transporting a royal burden, rumbling on towards Paris, carrying with them a young man who was so amazingly like the sovereign King of France. Edmund, accompanied by his guardian, sat in the last carriage of the entourage, a little dazed by the suddenness of the events and the appearance of his king. He had given up asking questions of his guardian, who now sat slumped in his seat, his face buried in his hands. It was a strange journey, and Edmund could detect apprehension and fear in the attitude of his guardian, and wondered what this secret was that made him the center of so much interest. Eventually, the carriages came to Paris and to the palace of Cardinal Mazarin. The king decided that there must be no waste of time, and in a few minutes he was on his way through the great velvet-hung hallways towards the private rooms of the cardinal himself. Edmund had been told to wait in an anteroom.
Lord Cardinal, the King of France approaches. It is the King.
The King? His Majesty here.
Why, Your Majesty, I thought you had decided to stay in Versailles.
Versailles? My Lord, I have not been in Versailles these 3 days. I have been in Gascogne.
Gascogne?
Yes, does that mean anything to you, my Lord Cardinal?
Gascogne is a prosperous country. I have heard, though, that at the moment... they are in need of rain.
Yes, but they aren't in need of their king, are they?
I beg your pardon.
Not in need of their king. When his counterpart lives and breathes in that very province. Why was I not told?
I find it difficult to understand you, Your Majesty.
Somebody is lying. Either you or Saint-Mars.
Saint-Mars? You saw George Saint-Mars?
I went direct to his castle. I brought back the young man who was a living image of myself. Now let's not waste any more time, my Lord Cardinal. You may be my advisor, you may rule the whole of France in my name, but I am the king and I am the law, and you must do as I tell you this very instant. Who is this man and why is he so much like me?
Why do you come to me?
Because this Saint-Mars told me that you hold the secret. Now come, don't keep me waiting. This matter has disturbed me greatly, and I'm not accustomed to worry.
I can see that you're determined to learn the truth. Very well. Sit down and I will tell you. This is going to come as a great shock.
Yes, at the moment I'm prepared for any shock. This likeness isn't a coincidence, eh? He's a relation of some kind, a cousin perhaps.
Much closer than a cousin. He is your twin brother.
Twin? Brother?
Yes, Your Majesty. He and you were born of the same mother on the same day. His rights and yours should be equal.
Equal? You mean...
I mean, Your Majesty, that if he so willed, he could lay claim to your throne, too. There should be two kings of France, for you both have the same rights.
This is fantastic.
Yes, Your Majesty. And that is why we had him taken away, hidden in another part of the country. Because with two kings of France, one would rise and strike the other down. Two people could never sit upon the same throne. You can understand that, Your Majesty. Why, even now, if the truth got about, there might be an insurrection, a revolution. You may be deposed and this other put in your place.
Oh. I think I'll sit down. Oh, this news has taken me. I didn't realize the implication.
That wasn't the only reason why the boy was taken away. Your dear mother will bear proof of what I tell you. Go to her. And she will tell you the same story. Before you were born, the astrologers foretold that twins would be born to the Queen of France. They also foretold that there would be strife, and that one would strike the other down. That is why your father and I decided that Edmund, your twin brother, must be disposed of.
You mean...
It was decided when your brother was born that we would keep his birth a secret. That we would tell the waiting populace that only one had been born and that the astrologers were wrong. At that time, we also decided that we would put an end to the life of the other baby.
And yet you didn't do this.
No.
Why?
Because, Your Majesty, your mother, your dear mother, is like all mothers. She has a love for her children. She wouldn't allow it. In fact, she forbade it. It was then that your father and I compromised. We decided that the baby must be taken away and brought up under another name.
So, the man who waits out there in the anteroom is my brother.
With equal rights, Your Majesty. He, just as much as you, is the King of France.
The King of France? There is only one King of France, only one reigning omnipotent.
You mean there will be only one reigning omnipotent? It is the only way, Your Majesty. Edmund Marchiali must be put to death at once.
What will be the fate of Edmund Marchiali? Little does he realize as he waits in an anteroom that plans for his death are already being evolved. Little does Marguerite realize this same awful fate as she waits patiently in her cell in the Bastille, confident that her great love will bring them together once again. Make sure you hear the next exciting chapter of The Man in the Iron Mask.